our song service this evening. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. We could have Jared come and open us with a word of prayer this evening.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have to come spend time in your house, Lord. Pray that you just be honored and glorified through the service, Lord. Pray that you just be with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Saved by the blood. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we'll read verses 18 through 27. Verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Let's go to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this night. I thank you for this time that we can come together. We can worship you, Lord. I do pray that you'd be with me during the sermon, that you'd be with us during the business meeting, that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first foreign American missionaries, Adoniram Judson and his wife Anne, took the gospel to Burma, but they weren't received by people eager to hear the gospel. And for 6 years, they labored seemingly without fruit, as they had not had one convert for all of their efforts. After 10 years in the country, they had just 18 people trust Christ as Savior, and those that followed him in believer's baptism. It was very slow going. The gospel didn't seem to be taking root, and yet the couple pressed on for the Lord. When the Anglo-Burmese War broke out in 1824, Adoniram was mistaken for an Englishman and was imprisoned. He was imprisoned in miserable, inhuman conditions. His ankles were tied to a bamboo pole from which he was suspended, and only his head and shoulders remained on the ground in vermin-ridden death jail. With over 30 pounds of chains binding his ankles, a fellow prisoner sneered at him and said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen now?" Judson's instant reply was, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." Judson's faith was rewarded, and when he and Anne embarked for Burma, his goal was to translate the Bible and to plant a church, which he hoped would grow to 100 members. When he died, he left the translated Bible and over 100 churches with a combined total of more than 8,000 members. We must be faithful to preach the gospel. The apostle, he says, from the first day that he gave himself unsparingly to the work of the Lord in Ephesus. The motive for Paul's ministry is found in the phrase, serving the Lord. He was not interested in making money or enjoying an easy life because he was the bondservant of Jesus Christ. The manner of his ministry was exemplary. He lived a consistent life that anybody could inspect. Anybody could see all of, for he had nothing to hide. He served in humility and not as a religious celebrity that was demanding for others to serve him. His humility was not a sign of weakness, but he had shown himself to be courageous as he faced trials and dangers without quitting the work. The message of his ministry was also widely known because he announced it and he taught it publicly as well as in various houses. He told the sinners to repent of their sins and to believe in Jesus Christ. This message was, as he said, the gospel of the grace of God. And it is this is the only message that can save the sinner. So he must be faithful in preaching, must be faithful through persecutions. Paul could say, none of these things move me. Because he knew that he was a minister of Jesus Christ. He knew that the grace of God could see him through whatever trial he would face. He saw himself also as a runner who wanted to finish his course with joy. There are three phrases here. He says, my life, my course, and the ministry. And they are key in the Apostle Paul's life. Paul realized that his life was God's. It was God's gift to him, and that God had a special plan for his life. And that that would be fulfilled in the ministry. Paul was devoted to God, and he was motivated by a great purpose, taking the gospel to all the world. And so very similar to the first, faithful to proclaim. He also gives us the picture of the witness. To testify the gospel of the grace of God, he says. Testify here means to solemnly give witness, and it reminds us of the seriousness of the message and of the ministry. As we share the gospel with others, it truly is a matter of life and death. Paul was a faithful witness both in the life that he lived and with the message that he preached. Soul winning is a priority and not a matter of convenience. I believe I've told this story before, but Hudson Taylor, a missionary in China, had this young man traveling with him one time by the name of Peter. And as they're traveling on this small boat, they're going across. And Taylor goes into his cabin. He's studying. He's preparing for the work at this next port. And he hears a splash as they're nearing the port. And so he comes out of his cabin and he starts looking for Peter. And he can't find him anywhere. So he asks the boatman about him. And they say, oh, yeah, he went down over there. To them, unconcerned. And so he goes over to the spot. He no sign of him. He starts calling out for him. There's no response. And so finally he sees some fishermen on a smaller boat a little ways off with a drag net. And he calls for them to come and to drag the spot where he went down. And their response is, they've been meaning, it is not convenient. He responds to them. He says, don't talk of convenience. Come quickly or it will be too late. They say, we're busy fishing. And he says, forget about your fishing. There's a man dying here. He says, just come quickly and I will pay you well. And they said, how much will you pay us? And so he says, I'll pay you $5. Just come. Stop talking. And they said, that's too little. We will only come for $30. Hudson Taylor tells him he doesn't have $30, but he'll give him everything he has, which is about $14, and they decide they will do it for $14. They come and they drag the spot and they find the man's body on the first go, but all of Taylor's efforts were in vain and the man died. Hudson Taylor related this story to a large audience of Christians who were shocked by the indifference of those selfish heathen fishermen. But Mr. Taylor had another point in telling the story as he then tells them, he says, is the body then of so much more value than the soul? We condemn those heathen fishermen and we say that they were guilty of the man's death because they could easily have saved him and did not do it. But what of the millions whom we leave to perish and that eternally? What of the plain command to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? This story challenges us that convenience is not a word that can be used when it comes to winning souls to Christ. If we are doing a thing when it is convenient, we could easily find ourselves saying that we are too busy. It has been suggested that what we really mean when we say that we're too busy is that we don't see the need or that we don't care about the need. Every day we face a choice of how we will spend the next 24 hours. And how we answer that question will determine what we accomplish in that day. Adoniram Judson said, "A life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. The same may be said of each day. When it is once past, it is gone forever. All the marks which we put on it, it will exhibit forever. How shall we then wish to see each day marked with usefulness? It is too late to mend the days that are past, and the future is in our power. Let us then each morning resolve to send the day into eternity in such a garb as we shall wish to see it wear forever. And at night, let us reflect that one more day is irrevocably gone and indelibly marked. We must all take part in being a witness for Christ. And it is a job that we must be faithful in, so that we too may be pure of the blood of all men. Faithful to proclaim the gospel and faithful to give so that others may go to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. There is a job to be done, so let's do it." Let's go to Him in prayer as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You again for Your goodness, for this time that we can come together. Lord, I do pray that tonight we would recommit ourselves, that we would have a strong desire to be that faithful witness, that we would be faithful in the work that You have called us to do, that we wouldn't let a day or an opportunity go by us without grabbing hold of it and sharing Your name with those around us. Lord, we do ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would stand with me as we go into the invitation. This week, and do especially remember the Omers, as the hospital is still having issues there. Brother Vizi, could I get you to close us in a word of prayer tonight?
Lord, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for the message, Lord. Pray that You help us to apply it for our lives, Lord. I pray that as we follow up into the business meeting, Lord, that You would again bless and all that's done there. And thank You for each day what You do for us. It, many times, Lord, take for granted and don't forget this word. Just help us again to have wisdom.